It's just me. I'm so happy to be here today. It's always so good to be in the house of the Lord. And the fact that we call this the healing rooms and we're here means we've come in agreement with healing. Lord, we just send forth your word, Lord, this day. Lord, have your way in this place. Oh, Lord, we decrease that you might increase, Lord. And we just want to acknowledge you in every area of our lives, Lord. Have your way in this place, Lord. We thank you for the stillness that we even hear right now, that there are no bombs going off around us, no gunshots, no wailing, no crying. It's because of your goodness, Lord. We have so much that we don't acknowledge so many times. But in this moment, we acknowledge, Lord, that you are our shalom. You are our Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to assemble here today to give you glory and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this message that I'm sharing today, as you can see, is Living in Freedom 101. And I sort of wrestled with sharing this today. The Lord has been talking to me about this area, how to live unoffendable, for many years, to just have a lifestyle of being unoffendable. And that can be challenging even for Christians to walk out in a real way, you know? And let's just take it one moment at a time. I'm following the Holy Spirit. You know, Lord, what would you have me to share? Because I tried to get away from it. I said, Lord, you want me to share that publicly? I know we talk about that, but, you know, you want me to talk about that with them? And he said, yes. So here we go. Living in Freedom 101, how to live unoffendable. And our premise is that as Christians, the Lord has called us to live for his glory. And what comes to mind is that scripture, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do everything. We do it all to the glory of God. Amen. And so I believe that the Lord has led me to share this message because we all need to hear it. And so recently, I went through something that was very hard. I had been walking through some discussions for many years with some family members, and for 50 something years of my life, they lied about the area that I kept questioning them about because I had memories concerning the area. And because of some things that were brought out, there was a need to share with me the truth about what was happening. And I was so blindsided by the truth. And the enemy wanted me to walk in not only hurt, but unforgiveness and offense. And that's something very strange for me. You know, if you live a lifestyle where you know that if you don't forgive your brother, the Lord won't forgive you, and you want to keep your heart this wellspring of life, we are to choose to walk in forgiveness. And so when the individual shared that they had lied to me for 50 something years, and then I tried to ask questions about what they discussed with me, they said, I'm not going to talk to you about the details, and I will take things with me to my grave, and a whole lot of things that were very hurtful. And so that following week, I, for the first time in many years, had all of these feelings of unforgiveness just bombarding me, like darts being thrown at my mind. And I kept casting down those thoughts, casting down those imaginations. And it was relentless because I kept thinking as the thoughts were coming, oh, so you want some pain. You know, just I heard thoughts that aren't my thoughts. And I had a hard time dealing with the thoughts that were bombarding me. And so I, as I said, kept casting down the thoughts, and I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I do not want to live with this pain and with this unforgiveness, and I cannot set myself free. Lord, I need you to set me free. I don't want to go another day with these thoughts bombarding me, with this pain bombarding me. Lord, this is not my identity. And so I cried out to him and I went to bed that night. It was about a week from finding out. And as I laid down that night, I woke up in the morning and the Lord said to me, do you remember that encounter that I gave to you? And I said, yes, Lord. And he reminded me of how I had had an encounter with him where I was on a grassy hill with him, and I saw all of these people standing around on that grassy hill, and it was so beautiful. The sun was shining, and as I stood there on that hill, I saw Jesus standing in front of me, and he looked so delighted. You know, his eyes were full of love, a love that was so deep that it had no beginning, a love that was so wide that it had no boundary. I saw that love, and I said, who is Jesus looking at? And as I looked around that hill, I came back to Jesus's gaze, and I had an epiphany. Jesus is looking at me like that. Jesus is looking at me as if he can eat me up with a spoon. And Jesus, as he's looking at me, he's looking at me as if I've never sinned. Hallelujah. And that was such a healing moment for me. For the rest of my life, when God gave me that encounter quite a few years ago, my life was changed such that things could not bother me as much because, and individuals couldn't bother me as much because I thought, Jesus loves me. You know, if you have a problem with me, you know, it's okay. But Jesus loves me. Once you know that Jesus loves you, it's like the world has no arrows, no darts, no bombs, no anything, because Jesus loves me. It was so personal to me. And then when Jesus reminded me of that encounter, he said to me, Veronica, I want you to love her as if she's never sinned. Is that amazing? You guys, forgive me. I'm just holding it all in. He said, Veronica, love her as if she has never sinned. Love her with my love. Forgive her with my forgiveness. Show her grace that I show you. Show her mercy that I have shown you. And in that moment, I got it. I said, oh, Jesus, I can do that. I can love her with your love. I can forgive her with your forgiveness. And from that moment on, the enemy was not able to continue to bombard my mind and my heart because Jesus revealed himself in me, that it was his love that was destroying all of the darts of the enemy. And I wanted to share that with you because it changed my life, and I pray that it changes yours, that our God has given us the grace because of him living inside of us to overcome all things, to overcome all offenses in this world. So the backstory is that there are examples in the scriptures of people who had opportunities to be offended but chose not to be offended. And so the first example I have down here is Joseph, Jacob's son, who is a type and shadow of Jesus. He had the opportunity to be offended in his brothers, but he chose not to be offended. He saw their actions against him as what God allowed in order to save their family from imminent famine. Number two, Jesus was not offended by the actions of those who crucified him, but saw it as what must be done for mankind to be saved. Instead, in Luke 23:34, he asked the Father to forgive them, that they knew not what they were doing. And then number three, when John sent word to Jesus from prison asking, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And the Lord said that to me, "You know, Veronica, I've allowed you to walk through some things." He's using all things for his glory. All things work to the good of those who love the Lord. Not all good things, but all things work to the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And when he allows something, the Lord's still voice is saying, "Blessed is he who is not offended in me." And he wants you to rise up. Let the Spirit of God rise up in you to do the same thing that he did. He said to forgive others that because they don't know what they're doing oftentimes. So the takeaway from these examples, if you'll turn to the next page, is that Christians are to be like Christ in all things, including towards offenses. No matter how you try to avoid offenses, they will come. But blessed is he who chooses not to walk in offense or unforgiveness. Our identity, the Lord's instruction to us. So let's get started at looking at the Word of God and look at Galatians 2 and 20. I'm going to give you your feelings for all these areas. Galatians 2 and 20, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me," is what you put in your blank. "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by believing in God's Son, who loved me and took the punishment for my sins." Hallelujah. I love him. I love him. I love him. So Lord, Romans 6, 3 through 5, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might," your blank is, "walk in newness of life." We experience that death in baptism, that symbolism of what he did. We are to walk in newness of life. "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." 1 John 4 and 16 through 18. "And we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this way, love has been perfected among us." Is your blank. So whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world, we are just like him. You know, when you have a revelation of that we are just like him, and that Jesus, he knows exactly what we're experiencing. But the beauty is that because he took upon him all of our sin, and now we have his likeness, the fact that we're just like him is that we're not having to encounter the penalty that we should receive. We're actually triumphant with him, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. And so I don't want us to just simplify the word fear right there just for, you know, the one word of fear, but see fear as that which is connected to the law of sin and death. So anything that does not have its foundation in the law of the spirit of life is fear and has its foundation in death. And so know that anything that is not the nature of Jesus Christ, anything that is not like him, has its roots in fear and death, in the law of sin and death. And so let's not be tripped up and sometimes think, okay, I'm not someone who lives with fear when you're allowing all kinds of other things just because it doesn't have the moniker of fear over it that you don't have to deal with fear. No, if you're dealing with anything that does not have its foundation in the law of the spirit of life, then you're dealing with the kingdom of fear and death. All right, so we are made alive in Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, is your blank. So you used to follow the ways of this world, but not any longer. All right. So I'm going to start from the beginning again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. I bet you all are filling in these blanks before I even get to it. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Life in the Spirit. So there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done, that's your blank, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Heirs with Christ. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And so here is our future glory. For I consider, you know, and when you consider something, you ponder it. Ponder on this for the rest of your life. Ponder on this future glory. Ponder on the fact that God has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm you, to bring you hope and a future. Ponder on this future glory, that you consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us, to be revealed in you. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's pretty good, isn't it? We can party right here, right now. All right, so God's everlasting love. Now, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I'm more than certain, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I just wanted to read that because I couldn't have said it any better. That no matter what comes our way, no matter what stumbling block, no matter what offense, our God has died for us. How much more will he freely give us all things? He has given us his peace. He has given us his grace. He has given us his strength. He is uplifting us with his righteous right hand. And he wants us to live according to the identity that he gave us. You know, not beneath that. It is so woefully sad to live beneath what you already have and in who you already are. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory that is being revealed in us. Hallelujah. It's a perpetual glory that is already happening. I'm already eternal. I'm already immortal. I'm already full of his power. I'm already full of his strength. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want you to do this declaration with me. Say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me, and I choose to live above offense. Amen.